and welcome to Astral Illusions. We have an anniversary. I was about to say it's hard to believe, but it's really not that hard to believe because we don't podcast all that much, and usually it's just me. For years and years, I've been saying my least favorite thing to do is book the show. So I've just been... And actually, once you realize that the solo episodes do better than the ones that you have somebody else on, then it's kind of like, why would I? But we've completed 5 years. It's very hard to believe. No, it's not. Life happens. My life is so much different than it was 5 years ago. I have a new set of genitals than when I started this podcast in March of 2019. Game of Thrones is no longer on the air. We have House of the Dragon, but we don't record about that. Remember, we used to have those fun panels at the beginning. I didn't really know how to edit, but I'm like, here, let's get all of these journalists and podcasters and YouTube people and all sorts of fun. We used to have a lot of fun on this show, and now it's kind of like, gee, Ian wants to talk about her sex life. This is the new thing. I actually have had more gender-affirming care recently. As recently, we're recording on a Sunday, but on Friday, March 22nd, I had LASIK, which is really, I detransitioned from being somebody who wears glasses to somebody who doesn't. So I'm actually in a dark room wearing sunglasses, even though, I mean, my eyes are fine. LASIK is great. It really wasn't expensive. And actually, my doctor was a block over from where I live in Long Beach, which actually, my doctor is on the same street they filmed the car chase from Barbie, Ocean Boulevard. Also, Lana Del Rey had that album. Do you know there is a tunnel under Ocean Boulevard? Well, above Ocean Boulevard, there, I mean, I don't live on Ocean, but my LASIK doctor has her office there. And I regained, it's Palm Sunday, and I've gained the power of sight once again. Isn't that, does anybody care? No, of course not. This has been a very strange year for me. And in a few good ways. It's been a very good year in a few ways, and it's been, I was about to say it's been a terrible year in others. I'm going to actually walk that back a little bit. I'm already feeling better. I mostly just hopped on because I knew that we had an anniversary coming up. Have to have an appearance. The best anniversary we had was 2 years ago when we had Kyle from Big Brother Canada 10 on. And I loved that episode. But even then, 2 years ago, it was kind of like, well, are we even celebrating birthdays? We don't really do this show anymore. Staying the course. Anniversary, it's kind of a good time to think about my life arc over the past 2 years and where I want it to go. And more importantly, on top of that, how do I, the individual, want to get myself there? Because I talk about agency all the time. One of my best friends tells me all the time, Ian, every time you're in a relationship that ends, you complain that you don't have agency in the relationship, which is often very true, and in some ways it's not actually true. I guess I'll do a little bit of a rundown for my kind of math on why I often kind of feel that way. I make my own schedule for the most part, not completely, but largely. I live alone. I have an extra parking spot. One of my exes had roommates. I guess living alone is not super relevant for the other people have lived in busy houses. But as far as 32-year-olds go, I live alone on the West Coast. I don't have all my family live on the East Coast. I'm relatively obligation free, which means I'm always kind of available to hang out unless, you know, there's very little I do that I wouldn't be able to say, hey, you want to come? So my schedule is something that, and I have to take responsibility for this part. I don't like planning shit. I don't like inviting people places. It gives me immense anxiety because you have to always wonder, like, if I'm inviting somebody, are they coming because they want to come, or are they coming because they feel bad and their obligation, or maybe they're just looking for something to do. I don't, it's stupid. It's, I work on it. I'm not trying to defend that. It's a flaw, but I try to work on it. I also tend to be attracted to older, strong-willed people. And yeah, I come from a line of old, of not old, my relatives, the people in my family who are up the line for me are all older. That's true. I do come from a long line of strong-willed people. I tend to be kind of go with the flow unless it's something I super care about. And I say I'm go with the flow. Not always, but maybe we're running into the problems here. Most of my big life aspirations are, I want success in the literary space. I want to be a best-selling author. That's my big life dream. Not even I want to be a best-selling author. I want my one song glory on that front. You know, the rent one song before I go. You know, I used to resonate with that song a lot before I transitioned because I figured that I probably wouldn't make it based on the dysphoria spells that would come, which tended to get really bad twice a year, but in the years leading up to my transition, the really last like two or three, it was getting so bad that I knew that unless a change happened, I was on borrowed time. You know, I basically was like, I didn't think I'd live past 30. So One Song Glory carried a lot of relevance when I was like, you know, it was bad. And you know, I was wrong. I'm really wrong. I'm going to be 33 in a couple months and life's going pretty well. But with regard to agency, I've kind of like thought, you know, I'm 32. There's a lot of you know, settling down, even put the kids thing aside, because I'm a millennial, a lot of us aren't having kids. Just the, where does like ordinary time in terms of an adult life? And maybe a lot of you listening are like, you know, we all kind of have an idea of what I'm talking about. We also probably have an idea that, easier said than done, and this sort of picture of what a life is supposed to look like is, I don't know. I don't really care. I don't even know right now if I even want to have kids. I don't really, if I settle down with somebody and they have a family already, that has a lot of advantages because I don't have to actually, I don't know. I want to live in a house full of love. That's what I want. And I really, however that looks, a lot of my life's arc, I'm sure I've talked about this in super old episodes, but one of the pivotal moments in my young life was when Buzz Lightyear in the first Toy Story tells everybody he can fly, and Woody's like, "You can't fly!" And this isn't at all how it sounds. But so what does he do? He does the thing where, you know, the fan helps him, and he flies around. Everybody's like, "Oh my God!" And he's like, "That's not flying, that's falling with style." Guess what? There's no fucking difference between the two. I want a fan... I want the thrill of a life where I have some sort of stability and a home full of love. That's what I want. And you know what? When you're a trans person and you've worked in the entertainment industry and you're an artist and COVID fucked everything and you're still kind of picking up the pieces from all of that, just like a nice stable, boring. I want that. That's my shining city on a hill is a boring house that's full of love. You know what? That actually sounds pretty nice. I've come close a few times to a scenario that was basically, I don't have like a vision of exactly what that looks like, but I know how it feels. And I've tasted that a few times since my breakup with Tara. And you know, it's out there. I'm flexible. We're not talking Mission Impossible here. We're talking maybe it's Mission Improbable, but you know, as Han Solo said, never tell me the odds, Empire Strikes Back. We're just throwing pop culture references out there. I had a 4-year relationship that came to an end at the tail end of December 2021. 4 years, and I mourned that thing for about 2 weeks, and then I was out playing the field. First time in my life, we've heard this story time and time again. I had a relationship recently that went 3 months, and it was 3 months that was not fully 3 months. We broke up twice during that spell, and then we broke up a third and final time. And that was basically 2 months ago. I am, at this point, 2 months later from a 3-month relationship, which you could really basically take down to 2.5 months if you take out the breakup. Not quite. Plus, I was away. I was in Curacao for a full month. This is not something that 2 months later... I used to call myself the comeback queen because of how quickly I could bounce back from breakups. And that's happened time and time again over the past 2 years. I've been on a fuck ton of dates. I've dated a couple people. Whenever it like starts to go south, you know, rinse, lather, repeat, fine. This last person that I was with totally fucking broke that system. And 2 months later, like, I mean, okay. I was actually probably going to talk to share this example a little bit earlier in the episode, but hey, this is kind of how the show works. The way that I've described this breakup of a person that I was extremely madly in love with, you know, the, I'm thinking of the Savage Garden song, Truly, Madly, Deeply. There we go. So this example has made perfect sense to every LGBTQ person and woman. You know, it's cis straight women too. It's made perfect sense to that huge chunk of people. And my guy, straight cis guy friends have all said, no, I don't know what this means. You just sound like a nut job. And sure, maybe I sound like a nut job. But the way this breakup goes, the way that I define this breakup is, if we could have gone a week without fighting, if we had just been able to go a week without an argument, I would have spent the rest of my life with her. And to a lot of people, that makes perfect sense. And then people are like, that's crazy. What do you mean if you could just go a week? And that's kind of the problem. We never could seem to figure that out. And I tried really hard. I am not going to lay all the blame on her. You know, there was a lot of stupid stuff that, not a lot, but there were a couple of stupid things that I could have let go, and I was about to say maybe I should have let them go if we had been able to cross the barrier, go a week, I'll spend the rest, I'll let everything go if we can just go a week without arguing. And do I mean that? Yeah, I mean, I kind of do. I'll give the littlest bit of context. This person is a very private figure, and I will always respect that. They were in a very long-term relationship with somebody who it had been known for a long time that the two of them had very different goals with regard to cohabitation and family planning in particular. Those two things, I'm not going to say anything else. It was very, very messy lesbian shit. Get another thing. If you're LGBTQ, maybe you understand that. I mean, okay, you look at the COVID years, look at a lot of stuff. You're in a very long term. I myself have been there when the writing was on the wall for a very long time, and I didn't want to see it. And I'm sure that that probably played a role into how I engaged with everything, having been, Tara and I had that kind of plateau a while before, and there was, you know, we had not been able to kind of take our relationship to the next level in terms of just kind of like really entering the settled down rest of life kind of phase. And I vowed to never go there again. And I saw the person I was dating, you know, it was a non-monogamous relationship. So a lot of it was kind of like, okay, I'm going to give you guys a lot of space on this. And then, You can only give somebody you're in a relationship and talking like family planning stuff so much space on that. Because, I mean, you know, you give distance, you let people do their own thing. But then you also kind of like realize, like, yeah, I am a part of this and I'm going to get kind of like sucked into this. And I mean, more importantly, I was going to have to give up my life eventually, not imminently, but in some case, at a point in time, I was going to have to give up my life in Long Beach, move across LA, and settle down in somebody else's, you know, somebody with a house, somebody else's structure. And you have to trust that the person you're giving up all that shit for, you know, giving up your nice home. I mean, my ex referred to my apartment as a glorified dorm room. I mean, it's a very nice dorm. It's a 2-bedroom, nice big living room. I have a lot of toys. You could look in there and say a child probably lives there, and that would probably be probably. No, it would be totally accurate. I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like my Long Beach life, I came here to transition in 2017. You know, I found love here, and Tara and I were never going to live here full time. So Long Beach was never a place that I was going to really settle down in. And yet I'm approaching 7 full years of having lived here in 2 months. So really not a long period of time. I never intended to stay here this long. So there is a part of me that has for a long time, long before I settled into this previous 3-month relationship that became a huge dumpster fire that I'm still kind of upset about. For a long time, I knew that it's always hard to... A lot of things can be true at the same time. I feel like a long time ago, it was mission accomplished with regard to Long Beach. And I've been kind of ready for the next chapter in my life. Whether Long Beach has to be a part of that or not, I am ready for a new adventure. And I'm more than ready to move. And more importantly, when it comes to LGBTQ dating in the Los Angeles area, where Long Beach is kind of, I call it the Shire. It's a half hour from DTLA. A lot of people say, oh, that's so far. I mean, it takes you 25, 30 minutes to get across basically anywhere in LA, East LA to WeHo. I mean, that's as long as going to Long Beach to East LA, basically. But try telling any lesbians that. They don't believe you. They want you to just go to their space. And you know what? I'm flexible. I am happy to move. I've loved my time here. I am kind of ready to go. But I'm not just ready to go for just anyone or anything. And I'm not going to just, you know, give up my nice apartment and my comfortable home life and my hot tub and everything and just go live in a lion's den that's not stable. So just the amount of instability in my ex's life was, to some extent, she's a Sagittarius. They're kind of known for their outgoing. Sagittarius and Cancer are not good matches if you follow the zodiac. A long time ago, I thought it was all bullshit. I'm pretty sure it's still bullshit. However, I have been out with a lot. The two most common denominators in everybody I date are they're either a Sagittarius or they're a lawyer, and often they're both. And lawyers I'm a good fit with. They're serious people. I'm a serious, unserious person. I'm a live-action cartoon character. But, I am a thoughtful person. So I'm a kind of a good fit for the nurturing side of the stoic ice queen. I am a great fit for ice queens because I have a mushy heart. And, mushy heart gets... What does a mushy heart do to ice? It melts the ice. It makes slush. And slush is the perfect state of being. I don't know. It's all bullshit. I think that a lot of what I was the means to somebody else's end in this relationship. I was kind of the, she was in a holding pattern where she was clearly sort of like happy in the sense that she loves this other person and genuinely and that it's all sweet. And it is. A lot of people would be like, oh, I'm like, that sounds like a terrible situation to be in. To some extent, yeah, but I don't know. The way she talked about it, it was nice. It was actually very sweet hearing her talk about their relationship and all of that. And I think if she'd been a little less uncertain about the trajectory of sort of what needed, we're talking about kind of the shit that like eventually kind of, destroyed our relationship. So it's kind of, it's a weird thing to like talk about, but, there is nuance there. It was very sweet. I actually, cause I entered into a relationship with her initially. I had no intention of envisioning a future with this person. We met on this app called Field, which is kind of like a kink app. It's for non-monogamy, you start dating a partnered person, it's extremely unhealthy if you start dating a partnered person to just kind of assume that, you're going to be part of the long-term picture. And, she doesn't even identify as poly. So the idea of having too long, it wasn't in my cards. I was just there to have some fun and then move on to the next thing. That's what I've done. I've done this a lot of times with partnered people, and I've had a lot of great experiences doing so. That's one of my favorite parts of non-monogamy is the boundaries and accepting that really fun people can be in your life for a short period of time. And then, they go on and it's not sad because you knew that going on. You had a lot of fun and it's kind of nice in a weird, a lot of people don't get it. It's not for everyone, but for me, as a millennial, you move around a lot. A lot of my friends have come and gone in Long Beach. I've watched a lot of close relationships move across the country, and it hurts, and you get upset about that. But that, to some extent, that's just kind of how it goes. You have to accept that everything is impermanent. And once you accept that everything's impermanent, basically my mentality is I want to surround myself with meaningful connections wherever I can find them. And, you know, if everything is above board, there's just no problem for me. I truly don't care. I'm not somebody, I'm kind of a switch hitter in the monogamy, non-monogamy thing. I'm probably a little bit more monogamously inclined, but I'm also just like a boring, as a trans person who with high standards, you get tired of playing the field because it's the type of game that I like. Like, my initial draw to non-monogamous people was I was able to kind of get the kind of matches or go on the kind of dates that I wanted to go on with the kind of people that I wanted to go out with. And I was willing to sacrifice the, not every date you go on has to be somebody you settle down with. When I was getting over my relationship with Tara and everything, as somebody who just enjoys dating, you know, as somebody who likes to write about it, podcast about it, partner people have a lot to offer in terms of the quality date front, which is all I care about. I care about quality. I'll sacrifice, you know, no day but today. I want to settle down with the one or, you know, have a nice, you know, the house full of love eventually, but that takes time. And I'm not going to just sit in a tower and, you know, preserve my chastity until then. I want to have a lot of fun along the way. So I kind of, with this person, you know, she made it clear from the start, she was in a long-term relationship. We talked about her other girlfriend, and I was all cool with that. I really was. And then gradually it started to become clear that she and I had a lot of goals that lined up very well with each other. And, you know, I'm kind of used to, as both a woman and a trans person, I'm used to other people filling my head with hot air of like, oh, we're going to have so much fun together. They keep promising like, we'll do this, we'll do that. And often, like, that's on the first or the second date, and I'm kind of like, yeah, that's nice, you know. It's kind of like a let's do luncher. You hear that, let's do lunch, yeah. I mean, I'm hyper-literal, so I hear those kinds of things, and I have a tendency to believe them. And when you get out in the world and you realize that a lot of people don't actually mean that, it can be harmful. But, you know, I'm mature. I'm a big girl. I hear these things, and, you know, it's fine. So you know, she initiates the relationship, starts saying that we're in a relationship by date number two, using the term girlfriend by date number three. Then we have a breakup of, she's like, oh, this is moving too fast. And it's kind of like, you know, it's like if the driver of the train suddenly starts saying we're going too fast, and you're like, well, who's to blame for that? It's kind of you know, getting back to age. You know, when you're dating people, when you're dating a partnered person, you actually don't, you know, we talked about agency a little earlier. It kind of makes sense. I mean, this person isn't really yours, and not that any person belongs to anyone, but the person dating the partnered person has fundamentally less agency than the partnered person was. Kind of reality of where is this going? Because at some point, you know, you don't just go on forever as the paramour or the concubine. Those are weird terms to use, but if they're not poly, your relationship can only go so far, and usually it's kind of on the partner person to say, all right, I'm done with this. And I do that too. I get tired of people sometimes. Usually by date three, especially when you're going out with partner guys, by like date three or four, you've probably had the best sex you're going to have with the person. So then it's kind of time to say, hey, rinse, lather, and repeat. And between like my progesterone cycle or just the mechanics of my actual dating life, you know, other people come in, I get tired. I don't want to be a partner person's long-term other partner. So, you know, you move on, and it's life. It's business. You don't really care. Comeback queen. Comeback queen doesn't care. But I started to kind of get, this person started to kind of make clear that she wanted me around potentially long-term. And I fell in love with her by the second date. I saw her in her natural habitat, and She's just like one of the greatest people I've ever met. She's been very mean to me. She yelled at me at one time. She's utterly incapable of meeting my basic emotional needs that I tried to communicate and time again, you know, tried this or that to, you know, signal that and that I need certain things from her. And this was me trying to get a sense of agency. And none of that worked. It was really, it was just bad. It just didn't work for me. And meanwhile, she's in like an active war zone with the status of the other relationship. I actually met the other girlfriend once, and I kind of like, you know, I was driving. It was absolute by chance. I said hello and everything, and then as I was driving back to my place, I called my mom, who kind of knew all of this, and I'm like, boy, you would not believe what just happened, mother. And we were like laughing about it, and I was like, it was kind of fun. And apparently the other person didn't really feel that way. So I'm like, oh boy, this is a problem. messy situation. My emotional needs weren't being met. Somebody was yelling at me, all sorts of horrible things. And meanwhile, they're, you know, in a messy shit. I mean, it's just none of this was a, now you can kind of see, hey, if we can just go a week without bullshit, we'll all be fine. And I think as I have some ownership in the way that bullshit tended to spiral, I think what I was also just kind of reaching was my own limits of how much I wanted to engage with a lot of that stuff. I would just reach like a point where it's like, okay, I want to live in a house full of love in a stable environment, and I ain't getting that here. And I've learned a lot about myself along this journey. And, you know, I was constantly just kind of thinking like, you know what? I don't want the world. It's like the Billy Bragg song. I don't want to change the world. I'm not looking for a New England. I'm just looking for another girl. Really bad. Really bad rendition. But like, I was in love with this person. Meanwhile, she's like dangling her feelings with another person. And understandably, I have tons of empathy, but my emotional needs were not getting met. And tried to communicate that, didn't work. There were some unfortunate boundary blunders along the way, some on her, some on me. You regret them. It sucks. I regretted it. When you're in that kind of a hostile environment, every single little thing becomes a big thing. Not every. A lot of them do. And it's just, you learn. You try to learn. That's all you can do. But am I over that? No. It's taken me, like, she broke me in a lot of ways. And in some ways, like, when something heals the wrong way, you need to kind of, like, break it again so it fixes itself. She broke Ian, the comeback queen. And I've been on some dates since we broke up. They've been fun. I've enjoyed myself. And then I've always been somebody who turns down a lot of dates. I enjoy my own company. I'm a natural introvert, but I live alone. You have to be very conscious of the fact that, human beings are social animals. So if you turn down X amount of dates and you're kind of sitting on a Saturday night feeling sorry for yourself, it's like, well, who do you have to blame for that? You could have gone out with this person. You could have gone out with that person. You could have done a lot of things and you didn't, and it's your fault. You have to take accountability for that. But when you're, you know, grieving a relationship 2 months later that probably needed to end, but with somebody on March 24th, am I still in love with this person? Basically, yes. It sucks. She really hated. I used to joke a lot that one of my big things that HRT gave me was this absurd amount of control over my own emotions that I didn't used to have before I transitioned. It's a transgender experience. It can be hard to explain to people who haven't undergone HRT. You know, you have one emotional matrix and then you have another. I guess maybe for older women, menopause, needing to go on HRT. I mean, cis people go on HRT. Hormones are wild. We've all had kind of hormonal flux. Hey, where do we think roid rage comes from? It's the same thing. So hormones are fucking tricky, but I feel like I have a pretty good grasp on them. And then this person comes into my life and just rewrites all of it. I was just so... I feel like I grew up. I grew up in the time that I met her and that I knew her. Like the Say Yes song, Elliot Smith. The We grew up, I didn't know. In the morning. I don't remember all the lyrics of that. But through that, through this whole mess, I've had this creative boom. I've been writing so damn much all the time. And it feels so good. It's like she unlocked these parts of me, these last sort of parts of me. You know, in a lot of our episodes since my breakup with Tara, I've talked a lot about how I've tried to sort of rediscover the parts of me that both COVID and the early years of my transition, you know, 3 or 4 years stretch between those two. You know, you change, but sometimes you want to just like make sure, hey, I want to correct myself a little bit. And you don't want to transition. You don't necessarily lose everything. And I kind of wanted to rediscover the parts of me that I'd kind of lost in the transition. I used to be a lot more outgoing than I am. I've become more of an introvert in my old age. Maybe that's kind of the natural sense of things. But this person, you know, the Sagittarius, really, really busy life, she just offered to me this, or presented this opportunity to kind of like get a huge chunk of my life of like the goals that I want. I could get through. I would have to survive in her world, I would have to completely evolve. I couldn't just, you know, be a homebody sitting at home watching movies, going to bed at 9:45 on a Saturday. Although, I mean, when I was with her, we went to bed at like 10:30 on a Saturday. You know, that 45 minutes, I got to tell you, that can mean all... no problems at all. But I liked it. It had all these opportunities. And I loved it. It was going to be this new, exciting adventure in so many ways. And I have to accept that that's not going to happen. It sucks. It's very sad. It's still very sad. Sad thinking about it. But it is what it is. And what I am left with, God, I rediscovered just this fountain of creativity. And I think I did that because I got a taste of the love that I want to get. And it wasn't the kind of love that another person was capable of, like, nurturing for the long haul. But I'm always somebody committed. My last podcast episode before, very actually right before I broke up with her, was like the long game. I am still playing the long game, but I'm playing my own long game. And with... Between LASIK and I had electrolysis takes a long time. If you've seen pictures, I mean, if you're listening to these, you know what I look like. I have reddish hair, which means that I'm not good for laser, but also electrolysis is extra painful. I have the worst hair to have it removed, which is, it's just so fucking lovely. I do like my hair, but, so I'd had a lot of electrolysis that was, you know, before bottom surgery. So I was having, you know, my genitals zapped. And then, you know, with whatever time we had left over, we'd do the face. Really fun. Just so, it was such a fun process. It's so fun. No. So I finally went back, you know, with COVID put an end to electrolysis. It really decimated that field for a while. And I didn't go back for a long time. And I've just kind of gone back. It's kind of like when Luke goes back to Yoda in Return of the Jedi. It's not like he's finishing his Jedi training, but he's just kind of putting his affairs in order. And between electrolysis and LASIK, it feels kind of like I'm, you know, I've been working on myself internally and I've been working on myself externally. I've been working on myself a lot. And one thing I've realized is that I do not really want to be the comeback queen anymore. My last relationship, she broke me on that, which is good. I broke out of a cycle that I think I'd outgrown. I've outgrown, you know, Andrew Tate, the psychotic men's rights activist who, he actually is a Big Brother. He's a Big Brother alum, but he's at the Big Brother UK. He got expelled from the Big Brother UK house because he was being a dick. I don't really like the Big Brother UK as much. It's not like the US and Canada one. We don't need to talk about that, though. He says women's body counts are really bad. I have a body count now that is over 100. And it's easy when you're a bisexual and you've spent, you know, when you make it to 32 and you've spent a lot of your life single. It's easy to, it's actually not that hard. When people hear you have a body count of over 100, they're like, oh, that's women who, you know, men who achieves that is seen as, oh, that's so great. Women, it's like you, and you, people hurl expletives at you. And yet, you know, if you don't sleep with them, then you're, you know, you're, you have unattainable standards. Just like, no, actually my standards, plenty of other people have attained them. You're just bad at it. Damned if you do, damned if you don't, if you're a woman. We're all learning that. But I'm just like, you know, my vagina, I I was single. I played the field for a while. It's not like I'm done playing the field, but I don't really give a shit about that anymore. She broke that with me. And I'm glad because I have my eyes set on a bigger prize. And I feel confident that I'm doing the work to get there. I'm working on myself. I'm trying to, you know, I've spent a lot of time, you know, thinking if I did this, if I did that, we would have probably lasted a few more weeks before something else came. And that's such a tricky spot to be in because you don't want to alleviate yourself of all responsibility when you can point to like X, Y, and Z of things that you did do that you regret and that you wish you hadn't done. Because, you know, if you hadn't done that and it had still failed in a few more weeks, you know, you wouldn't have the thing that you regretted doing. Nobody says, gee, I wish I'd actually, I mean, some people maybe do wish that, you know, if you break up, but, you know, if you give somebody some slack and then you break up a month later and you're like, you know, I should have been meaner to them on the front. Nice, you know, good people don't do that. I wish that I had taken other routes in disagreements a few times. And I have to own that. And I have to own that while also knowing that I broke up the third time with this person because they, like, extremely yelled at me and it was horrible. So you have to accept that you have some responsibility while also not beating yourself up because another person crossed boundaries and then really did an absolute piss-poor job. Once the boundaries were crossed. So it is what it is. It sucks. It sucks horribly. A person that I loved was absolutely, utterly incapable of meeting my basic emotional needs. It sucks. It sucks because I love her. I'm like laughing. Like, who wants to admit that? But I don't like keeping cards from people. She kept cards from me up till the final day that we broke up, which sucks. And you know, when you spend 20 years in the closet, you just don't. I am terrible at keeping secrets from people. It's not like I tell somebody everything. Like if you keep some opinions to yourself, you don't keep facts or big issues to yourself. That happened. It's just, you know what? All of it is a sign that I wasn't really meant to be with this person, but she gave me so many things. I have this whole different perspective on life, and with my career, I'm just writing again, and I have so much writing to do, and I love it. I'm excited to like get back to work tomorrow with LASIK. It's kind of why I'm recording this on a Sunday. It's not even, like, the world is still, I talk about this all the time, about how much of a hindrance being trans is, especially when you're trying to make it as a professional in the entertainment industry. It's a huge, like, liability, but, like, at a certain point, you have to just say to yourself, okay, the world doesn't, like, respect trans talent, that's not fair, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Okay. So what if that, I mean, not even so what if that's true, but like quit whining, you know, get to it. you know, if you're gonna have a lot of rejections along this road, keep, you want it bad enough, keep going, steady the fucking course, and, you know, let's do this, baby girl. And that's what I'm gonna do. And I'm grateful for that. And you know, this pain has been getting better. It's slowly but surely. And it is. It's progress. It's exciting to be able to admit that, because I am healing. And you know, and my eyes are healing, and the hairs on my face that I'm tired of shaving are like the little fuzz that you, like, nobody, I can go 3 days and nobody would even notice them, but I feel them and I notice that. I'm taking care of this. You know, I talked how I struggle about agency in relationships. I'm taking agency of my life, and the next time that somebody that I'm madly in love with comes along, and hopefully the scenario is not the dumpster fire that I was last in, I'm gonna be ready. I'm gonna be ready for all of this shit. You know, it's you have to, when you're a marginalized person, you have to work a lot harder to get less, and that, like, sucks. But life is not a fair game. Like I have a lot of privilege in a lot of ways that other people don't. Life is not fair. You want something, you have to work hard for it. You work hard, you do it. You know, I'm really hungry. There's a lot of things that I want out of this world, and I'm gonna fight like hell to get it. I don't care if it's fair. I'm gonna go do it. Who cares? I care. I care a lot about making something of my life, and this holding pattern that I feel like I've been in the city, my life and everything. This won't last forever. It can't rain all the time, to quote the great film The Crow. All right. I think that's probably a good place to end. For the listeners who've made it this far, it's been weird. We've seen my Facebook following explode, and I mean, Threads wasn't even a thing this time last year. I have 31,000 followers on that. That's a big number. I hit the 100,000 follower threshold. I've hit the 1 million download mark here a long time ago. This podcast is charted in the TV and film or sexuality categories in over 100 countries, including plenty of countries where I can't even visit because I'm trans, and I assume there's probably closeted LGBTQ people in those countries who are listening to this. I don't really know why, from a privileged transsexual who lives in Los Angeles whining about her U-Haul's gone wrong. Everything is in perspective, and that's not to minimalize my own stuff, but we all have our crosses to bear, and none of those, you know, this is Palm Sunday. Bring religion back in. Our second breakup was reconciled on Christmas Eve. She showed up in Long Beach, all the way from East LA. She showed up to Christmas Eve Mass. I had posted about it on my Facebook page. I was here. One of my best friends wasn't able to go home, so I stuck around a couple extra days to spend Christmas with them. And I ended up having really a Christmas I'll never forget. I'll probably adapt it at some point. Nice Christmas novella, U-Haul novella. It was the most memorable Christmas of my life. I'm like crying just thinking about it. Probably not good for my LASIK eyes. It's all good. I mean, life has hardships. You walk through the fire. That's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We'll see it through. That's what we're always here to do. I think that's the line. Doesn't really matter. I'm really grateful. Hey, you know, I have. This is sort of, you know, with the lack of maintenance that this podcast has had over the past couple of years, we chart irregularly. It's actually kind of strange when we chart at all, because it's like a lot of times we've charted, we hadn't done an episode even that whole month, and a lot of times it's our Christmas episodes in like the middle of like March or April charting, and that's why we get into these categories. You're like, what the fuck is this? Life's changed a lot since we started the show, and the show has changed a lot since it started, and but that's life. You know, you grow, things change, some things stay the same. Yeah, other people in the position that I'm in would have probably decided to, you know, wrap things up and say, you know, we're done with Astrodial Illusions. I feel like I'd want to do more episodes the second I committed to not doing any. That's kind of happened. We go 3 months without recording, and then there's like two or three new episodes in a week. It's a weird setting. It's a weird kind of fluid thing, but I'm great. You know, I'm grateful. I feel like this is a point where, you know, because I do live stream sometimes, but I'm really always very self-conscious about my appearance, my skin in particular. I get breakout. Hey, hormones are a bitch. I get self-conscious about a lot of things. So podcasting is a chance for me to really unpack in a long-form setting a lot of my thoughts. And writing, you get to do that to a certain extent, but there's a lot of editing process. You're telling a story. Here, we're obviously telling a story, but it's different. It's a lot more, it's like a long-form personal essay almost. So really grateful that this is a place that I can return to and talk about these things to whoever out there is listening. And it's always kind of weird. You know, people listen to some of our episodes from 2019. It's hard to think like in 2029. People, if we have a world, the world hasn't exploded. You know, you can tune in to the Estradiol Illusion. No, it's Estradiol Illusions. Hello and welcome to. No, we're gonna do that. I said we were gonna wrap up and then talk for a couple more minutes. I don't know. I mean, I appreciate you guys a lot. It means a lot to me to be able to do this. I chose in my transition a lot to withdraw into my shell and to close myself off from the world. It's always very hard when a person with 100,000 followers says something like that, because it'll always be both true and not true, because in a lot of ways I live my life much more openly than a lot of other people, and in plenty of ways I don't. It's a life is full of contradictions. A lot of things can be true at once, but yeah, I'm just doing my best. That's all you can do. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, especially if you've been with us these past 5 years. I don't know why, but I'm so grateful to everybody who's tuned into the show or been on this show or found us by accident, or you found me from somewhere else. From the bottom of my heart, the heart that is doing its best to heal and to grow, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.